Welcome to the Pakistan Development Podcast. I'm your host, Rabia Malik. At the start of this month, Pakistan's new provincial and federal budgets came into effect. On this episode, I spoke with Dr. Ijaz Nabi about the significant features of the new budgets, including tax reforms, exports, and agriculture. He also gave his thoughts on how the budgets work as a policy and planning tool. Ijaz Nabi is the country director for the International Growth Center, a professor at the Lahore University of Management Sciences, and an economic advisor to the Chief Minister of Punjab. The podcast is a co-production of the Institute of Development and Economic Alternatives and the Consortium for Development Policy Research. Here's our conversation. Could I ask you to speak about, Dr. Nabi, the main highlights of the federal budget that stood out for you this time?
Okay.
And what your impressions were?
First of all, a little bit of the overall statement of what the budget as an instrument is. But the budget is just a housekeeping instrument, okay? Because all kinds of initiatives that affect the economy, they should really be taken as part of some strategy which has been developed over the year or follow-up to a strategy that was already in place previously. And the budget is an occasion to show how much of that strategy was endorsed by or was supported by monetary allocations, right? And how much of additional monetary allocations will be made going forward. The budget should not be seen as an instrument that launches new initiatives, because it's just a housekeeping exercise. It's giving an account of how monies were spent in the previous year and what the intention is for expenditures going forward. So that's essentially what a budget is meant for. So looking to the budget to see whether it sets new directions to the economy, I think is somewhat misplaced, but that's what it seems to have become in Pakistan. We look to see, you know, what the budget is doing for exports, or what the budget is doing for agriculture, or for industry, or for salaried people, etc. So all of these answers we seek in the budget itself.
Right.
But the budget doesn't lay out the strategy. The budget simply allocates monies. The strategy has to be money plus a hell of a lot more. What you do for institutional changes, what you do for policy reform, because institutional changes and policy reform is sometimes far more important than the actual money allocation in order to see whether you have set a new direction for exports or for poverty alleviation or for industrialization, etc. So I just wanted to lay that out. But what I have focused on the budget are three areas that have been of interest to me for a long time. One is whether the budget does enough to push the tax reform agenda forward. So I was looking at the budget from that angle. Another issue that has been of a lot of interest to me is Pakistan's export performance. I think that is a country's Achilles heel, and if countries don't do well on exports, countries get into serious economic problems for a variety of reasons. So I was also looking at the budget, whether it does anything for exports. And thirdly, I've been very interested in, of late, in agriculture. Pakistan's agriculture is endowed with the world's largest irrigation network, canal irrigation network. We have large tracts of fertile soil. We have hardworking people who are familiar with agriculture, and at times we have combined these factors very well. to achieve very high growth rate in agriculture, you know, 4%, 5% even. But of late, agriculture has been stagnating. Growth is virtually zero, sometimes even negative. And not only are we not doing badly compared to our own performance in the past, we are doing badly compared to the rest of South Asia. And that is just unacceptable, because agriculture is so fundamental to what is still largely a rural based society, and therefore rural prosperity, rural incomes, and what happens to them is going to be very important to determine the future of Pakistan. So that's why I've been interested in these three areas, and I look at the budget from these angles, hoping that these are not one-off interventions, but part of a strategy.
That's very, very interesting, actually. So thank you very much also for the clarification. It's very good to sort of hear that actually perhaps we should be looking every year when this exercise happens, we should combine it with an analysis of the strategy documents and the planning development documents with the budget, and then specifically see which sectors. If I could ask you to talk about then the first point that you raised, you about the reform agenda, what progress do you see this year?
Okay.
The tax reform.
On the tax reform agenda, I'm somewhat familiar with the culture of budget making, because I've been on various, you know, Prime Minister's Advisory Council and Punjab also. So I'm a little bit familiar with that environment. And what happens is that in the run-up to the budget, and I'll come back to your question in a minute.
That's right.
But in the run-up to the budget, Ministry of Finance starts to invite so-called experts.
Right.
And committees are formed. And then these committees meet, and these committees make their suggestions. And these suggestions are collected together, and somebody from the dungeons of the Ministry of Finance then puts them all together and says, okay, now which ones we will pick and which one we will not pick. And I used to find it very frustrating to sit in on those discussions, because these interventions or these, you know, take off 2% here or add 3% to this duty or lower the such and such rate or give this sector exemption, most of the people sitting on those committees were accountants.
Right.
Now, accountancy is a great profession, and we really need good accountants to run the system. But accountants should not be the ones making budgetary recommendations, because they have no framework for looking at the broader implications of the specific reforms they suggest. So reforms are sometimes extremely narrowly oriented towards their business focus of the accountants who are on those committees, and nobody can explain clearly as to what the implications for overall revenue are, what the implications for any reform program are, which has been ongoing and which the government may have thought through clearly, and what the implications are for fairness. Fairness has to be at the heart of a good tax system. So I'm afraid a budget is often shifted around, the focus is shifted around, based often on very narrow considerations of the experts on the panels. Now, with that out of the way, if you look at Pakistan's tax regime, the one thing that stands out very clearly is that there is horizontal inequity. And let me explain what I mean by that. People with same income but arising in different sectors of the economy are treated differently.
Right?
If you're a farmer, your income is taxed in a very different way. In fact, your income is not taxed by the federal government. It's taxed by the provincial government, and provincial government has very poor capacity to levy income taxes. So if you're a farmer, you face a very different tax regime compared to somebody in the large corporate sector. Okay. And that is very different from somebody who operates in the retail sector. And that's very different from somebody who's a university teacher. Incomes are treated differently depending on where they arise. This makes no sense whatsoever. If you earn 5 lakh rupees a month as a farmer, and I earn 5 lakh rupees as a university professor, and someone else earns 5 lakh rupees as a retailer, our income should be treated equally for tax purposes. That's the principle the world over. Now, I'm afraid there is yet very little progress on that issue. And I see nothing in this in the budget that would address that issue of horizontal inequity. The biggest challenge to my mind of horizontal equity, and I'm just taking horizontal equity one step further, which is fairness. We could both be earning 5 lakh rupees teaching in universities, but if I teach at a university that is forward-looking, it's part of the modern culture, and that university is in the tax net, then I pay tax on my 5 lakhs. But if you are teaching in a university which for some reason has avoided being in the tax net, then even though your and my income is the same, I get 5 lakhs minus tax rate times 5 lakhs. You get your 5 lakhs. And that's not fair. And the only way to implement the principle of fairness is to make sure that everybody is included in the tax net. There is some progress towards that in this budget. Something like 250,000 new notices were sent last year, and the intention is to send notices again this year. These are notices that FBR sends to individuals saying that FBR is of the view that they should be in the tax net, and why are they not? So this helps with compliance. But unfortunately, because FBR has very, very weak follow-up capacity, weak audits, weak legal department, so that the actual tax collection as a result of these notices that have been sent out has been minuscule. And I don't see much progress in that going forward. And I think I would be a lot happier if the budget, instead of saying we raised 200 billion rupees more, if the budget were to say we got another 200,000 people into the tax net. Because that would not only mean more taxes, but far more importantly, it would begin to satisfy the principle of fairness. Because a tax that is not fair very badly affects compliance.
Right.
People feel cheated, and therefore they feel justified not to pay their taxes and to evade taxes by colluding with the tax officials. So, and I'm afraid I don't see a lot of progress in that area. Another angle from which I look at the budget is whether it is moving towards horizontal equity that I talked about earlier. And in Pakistan, the most glaring inequity, one is agriculture that I've already talked about. right? Look at your incomes have to be brought into the tax regime that applies to other incomes. But I think the other important issue is that the retail sector is undocumented, which is bad enough for purposes of the sales tax. But it's even more diabolical because people avoid income tax also. So if I have $1 million to invest in Pakistan, if I put it in the manufacturing sector, there are all kinds of taxes I have to pay. In addition to a multiplicity of transactions, because you know the supply chain in manufacturing is very long, and to manage all of those transactions. And there are taxes, all kinds of taxes, the labor tax, there's this tax, there's an income tax, the excise tax, etc. But if I take the same $1 million and in manufacturing, it takes 2 to 3 years before you begin to see any returns. Gestation period is long. But if I put the same $1 million in setting up a shop in the Liberty Market, these days $1 million will not get you a shop in the Liberty Market. But suppose you did, and suppose you started to import air conditioners and sell them in those shops. You know, in 1 month you'd have a full turnover of your investment, very little labor to hire, very few transactions relative to manufacturing, and very weak sales tax regime, so the government is unable to assess what my income is, and therefore the income that I pay on the tax that I pay on any income that I get from the $1 million investment will be much smaller, which is exactly why the manufacturing sector is stagnating in Pakistan and retail sector is growing like crazy. So if you look at the budget, now again, keep that context in mind. So from my point of view, the budget on the tax issue does not go anywhere near as far as one would like to, given the fact that, you know, we collect 10.5 percentage points of the GDP as taxes. And we are left behind in this activity also, which is so vital for state building. If we were a very large government, then I'd say, TK, you know, let's start. But we are not, you know. Share of government to GDP is about 20%, right. And that's not huge.
Right.
And we know that there's a lot of infrastructure, a lot of social services that need to be provided, health, education, etc. So it's vital that we increase tax revenues, and the budget doesn't go anywhere as far as it should in that area. So that's the tax issue. Now let me come to exports. We talked a little bit about it. We talked why export strategy of export-led growth is so important for Pakistan. The budget has several measures addressed at promoting exports. There is a new trade policy which has been announced close to the budget time. There's an Exim Bank is being set up which will facilitate financing of exports. The cost of export finance is being reduced. It was 9% in 2013, and this year they brought it down to 3%, so there's a substantial reduction in that. Local duties are being, exports are being exempted from levying for having to pay local duties. Many imports or machinery imports by SMEs SMEs that are in exports, those machinery imports are being facilitated by loading or the moving duties. There is also, I think, an important step forward is the zero rating of the of the manufacturing activity, particularly manufacturing that's focused on exports. So bring them into the zero-rated tax regime. I think these are all very good and important steps. But to my mind, they're still not embedded in a sound strategy for export-led growth. The government has not really enunciated that strategy. That strategy will involve making some sacrifices, particularly the way we manage the exchange rate, which is to protect consumption rather than promote exports and investments and savings. So I think a grand strategy aimed at export-led growth has to be put in place, and then of course the budget will be a good instrument to see how it takes that forward. Now let me turn to agriculture.
Perfect.
What this budget does is that, I think very effectively, the provincial government, especially the government of Punjab, which is where a lot of Pakistan's agricultural activity sits, and the federal government have worked in tandem. And I think that's very welcome. And this should be done for exports and other things as well. But in agriculture, they have worked in tandem. Now, what is the problem with agriculture? The big problem in agriculture is this stagnation of yields per acre. There are five major crops, wheat, rice, sugarcane, cotton, and maize. Other than maize, we've seen a complete stagnation of yields. And that's the biggest challenge, is why there is this stagnation and how we can increase the use of these crops. Now, we know what the issues are. We've got some very good people who are farmers. They understand what the problems are. And government of Punjab and provincial government holds the key to changing agricultural productivity. So provincial government of Punjab it organized a large Kisan conference in March this year. And as a result of that conference, they have a pretty good idea, and it corroborates what they were already what they'd already identified as the key issues. And what are these issues? Basically, the most important issue is seeds, the quality of seeds, the deteriorating quality of seeds, and that has to do with the legal environment, which creates the investment climate for seed breeders. And we have struggled with it for many, many years. We have not yet put in place that environment. So the leading seed breeders are not attracted to Pakistan. And we have a hodgepodge of seed breeders. And that's not doing any good. Then there is the issue of mechanization, because we have very little labor at peak periods, labor is doing other things, and that affects yields. Then there's a question of precision land labeling. There's an issue of marketing information, etc. So there were those issues, which largely the provincial government addresses. And then there is the issue of what we call terms of trade for the farmer, which is the price at which the farmer sells the product that it produces relative to the price of the inputs that the farmer purchases. Now, what has happened is that the terms of trades have deteriorated for farmers. Rice and cotton, the two major cash crops, international prices of these crops fell. So domestic price has fallen substantially by about 40%. And that's hit the farmers very badly. Meanwhile, input costs have not come down. Now, the key to addressing terms of trade doesn't rest with the provincial government, it's with the federal government. So the federal budget actually is a very important instrument on addressing terms of trade. And whereas the government has done nothing, announced nothing in the budget on prices, on support prices, which is because the government is cash strapped. It's just barely brought down the fiscal deficit, and it's not about to raise it up again. So it's announced no measures on support prices for crops, but it has announced several measures on trying to reduce the input prices. For example, the two fertilizers that are used in growing wheat, rice and cotton, urea and DAP, prices of both of these fertilizers have been brought down. Price of electricity at off-peak hours in rural areas has been brought down. Several schemes for credit guarantee and lowering the cost of finance in agriculture, that has also been brought down. The provincial budget, which was announced soon after, that has a large, it has allocated a Kisan package of 100 billion rupees, 50 billion this year and 50 billion next year. A large part of that is actually subsidized credit for the small farmers. So together, the package is important. But to me, the most important announcement didn't come in the federal budget. It came in the Punjab budget, which was, and it had nothing to do with money. It was the announcement of the constitution of an agriculture commission. And this commission, if it is staffed up well, this commission will monitor terms of trade for the farmers in the short run, and will also monitor progress on alleviating some of the causes that have brought farm productivity down. So what we have to do is to watch out for how that commission works.
That's fantastic.
And how its recommendations are then implemented throughout the year, but also in the next budget.
That's absolutely fantastic, actually. Thank you very much for speaking to us about all of these issues. I think the thing that stands out so completely is to look at a budget document without thinking about the overall strategy, not just for the people who are viewing the budget, not just the citizens themselves, but also for the policy planners, will perhaps not be as effective an exercise as if you take it together. This was really, really good, actually. Thank you very much for speaking with us.